coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, August 15th, 2022. I want to thank you very much for your belief and your trust in this organization, in this platform. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing this program with others. I appreciate that. I want to tackle right away, get right into it, and kind of explain what's going on here with respect to the deep state, the intelligence community, the raid on President Trump's home, and really get to the bottom of really what's going on here. Because I think this will tell the tale. Everyone's looking for the midterms to fix things. Everyone's looking for, well, hey, you know, President Trump will come back in 2024 and things will be fixed. There's a whole lot that went on between 2006, 2007, 2008 through today. That has a lot of bearing on everything that we're seeing today. Now, let me just kind of address a couple of things here. We're really talking about a 6 to 8 year sequence of events that has allowed us to get to this point where we're at. And if we don't include all of these events, and that also includes the economic implosion we saw back in 08, 09, in the setup, how things were set up and reconfigured after that, the presence of Obama on the scene, how he was put on the scene. And I want this to make sense to everyone. I really do. Because I got into this weekend. I mean, I was looking at this and I'm finding little nuggets of information that I think everyone really needs to understand. This, what we're seeing right now, has been ongoing. Not to this extent, but the war against us Christian conservative patriots has been ongoing since really the time of TARP and quantitative easing. It's been going for a long time, but that kind of allowed the infrastructure, the funneling of money away from the Department of Defense to the intelligence community. Okay, now put a stop right there. Let's put a break right there. Let me do this, if I may. Over the weekend, Maria Bartiromo, and again, I go over all through all kinds of programs and snippets of programs and such to bring to you, to kind of get you up to speed as to what's taking place. This video, it's 6 minutes in length. This from this past Sunday, I think it'll get you up to speed and throw some important points out that I will go back and also fill in the blanks in between the 6 to 8 year sequence to the present. But this is an important video. Go ahead and watch this video, listen to this video, pay attention to the important points about declassification and just pay attention to the entire thing. The link will be at the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Here it is.
Unfortunately, one of the worst outcomes we've seen, both from the Barack Obama administration and now the Joe Biden administration, has been the deep politicization and weaponization of the Department of Justice and the FBI. They've turned the machinery of government and law enforcement into a weapon to attack their political enemies. This FBI, this Department of Justice, is content to remain thoroughly political and partisan, and it's deeply, deeply concerning.
That was Senator Ted Cruz on this program last weekend, and it was one day before the FBI executed a search warrant on President Trump's home in Florida. It was the first time in the country's history that a former president's home was searched by federal agents. Joining me right now is the former Department of Defense Chief of Staff, Kash Patel, and former House Intelligence Committee Chairman, Devin Nunes. He is now currently the CEO of Trump Media and Technology Group. Great to see you both, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maria.
Nobody knows the Russia collusion lie better than the two of you. You broke open the story and educated the public that it was all made up from the start. So let's begin there. Kash Patel, what tie does this seize and search in President Trump's home have to do with the Russia collusion story?
Thanks, Maria. And look, it starts and ends with Russiagate. The corruption and the two-tier system of justice that Devin and I exposed during Russiagate has been carried out to the Hillary Clinton email investigation scandal, to the Hunter Biden laptop, to Jan 6, and now to the raid on President Trump's home. And let me clarify. Basically, the same corrupt FBI government gangsters, the same agents that were involved in Russiagate, the same counterintelligence agents that were involved in making the bad false call on Hunter Biden's laptop, or you're going to see are the same counterintelligence agents that helped raid or assist in the raid to President Trump's home. And why is that a problem? Because these agents knowingly break their oath of office and the law, get promotions, and we need to demand their names. Guys like Auten and Tybalt and other guys who also stood up the fake Whitmer prosecution in Michigan. When Devin and I first marched down to DOJ to expose the likes of Peter Strzok, they laughed us out of the building. But what happened? He was placed on administrative leave because he broke his oath of office. And you're going to find that exactly is what's happening here. And that it is a counterintelligence investigation means it's being run out of FBI headquarters as a national security case by these same select few of corrupt politicians who are acting as FBI agents.
So Devin Nunes, you came out with the Nunes memo in 2018 and exposed all of them. Is it the same documents that they want to have under lock and key that they wanted to get from Trump's home?
Well, look, I don't think we know that, because I'm not sure they even got a whole lot of documents anyway. They haven't even accounted for them. But Maria, I would only disagree with Kash. I don't normally disagree with Kash, but I think this actually goes back pre-Russiagate hoax. I think this goes back to the IRS scandal where they targeted conservatives. I think it goes back to Fast and Furious during the Obama administration, where they ran guns and tried to set people up. You remember, and then innocent Americans ended up getting killed. It goes back to Benghazi. They got away with that. And then you have to remember, it was late 2015 or 16 that we get to the plan where the Clinton campaign, working with dirty cops at DOJ and FBI and the media, I must say, where they set up to spy on the Trump campaign and ultimately Republicans and frame an innocent man that then led to what? So that was the Russia hoax that then led to the Mueller witch hunt. So all of this stuff is intertwined. And then you just fast forward, you know, Kash mentioned, you know, the Whitmer case and Jan 6 and whether or not federal agents were involved in that. So you just stair step. And then ultimately this leads to what? This leads to something never done in American history before. You had a president's home ransacked by the same goons that were involved in all of this. And I would say that you know, a lot of people have criticized, you know, the FBI and the DOJ, and I think rightfully so. But someone are making these calls. And I would say that the people that have been involved in all those scandals that I just listed are the very same people that are now in charge of the DOJ and are at the White House.
So you're talking about Susan Rice, you're talking about Jake Sullivan, and you're talking about Lisa Monaco, who is the deputy attorney general?
Look, yeah, if you don't believe that those people were involved, you're living under a rock somewhere. And look, you only have to go as far as this. You can just look at how they produce their narratives. They come out with their narratives. Remember, the raid happened on Monday, and nobody had even asked this yet. This was only a few, you know, within minutes or a few hours after this raid, or during this raid, when President Trump announced it on True Social, I might add. He announces that, yeah. And then what happens? They immediately say, the White House didn't know anything about this. And then on Friday, when Merrick Garland, who shows up an hour late to give his what looked like a hostage crisis, he looked like he was painfully going out there. He looks like he just got the hell beat out of him. And what happens? They say the White House knew nothing about this. Well, look, that tells you the White House knew everything about this. If you don't believe the Deputy Attorney General and the top people at the White House know this, you've been living under a rock.
All right, hold on. We're going to take a
to my attorney in Greece because I felt it was given to me under very suspicious circumstances. And upon coming back to the United States, I had about 7 or 8 FBI agents rummaging through my luggage looking for money. And what I think this whole setup was all about was trying to frame a FARA violation against me that I was under some sort of illicit surveillance for actually, I think, years leading up to and during my time on the Trump campaign.
That was former Trump foreign policy advisor George Papadopoulos speaking with me back in 2019 about what he called FBI entrapment after he received $10,000 while he was overseas. And then when he landed in America, FBI agents were there ready to search his luggage looking for money. We have been following these charges of entrapment and bad behavior by the FBI for so many years now. So we are back with Kash Patel and Devin Nunes. And Devin, you just talked about all of the times in the past that we saw bad behavior down to IRS, Lois Lerner. Tell me more about who's running things and who is ordering this search and seizure.
Pay attention.
Well, the reason I wanted to run your viewers through kind of that history, because it's really important, because there's a few things in common. One thing is the Democrats are involved in this. They coordinate with the media. And like I said, these top level Obama Biden officials are now at the top echelons of this current White House and Department of Justice. And they're basically facing no scrutiny. And look, I don't have any, you know, I'm not buddies with Merrick Garland. But, you know, I was in Washington for you know, a couple decades. And what you saw on Friday was very unusual. I mean, you had a sitting attorney general who shows up 3 days after the fact. Right. So they ransack the president's home. They get all these boxes. Nobody knows what the hell's in it. President Trump says, look, let's release this warrant. And then I'm not kidding you that. And I urge people to go back and watch that. You know, isn't it strange that a sitting attorney general 3 days later shows up 45 minutes late for his own press conference that he called? The White House claims they don't know anything about it. He marches out there, gives a quick, you know, complaining about the way DOJ and FBI are being treated as if you're oblivious to everything that's happened the last decade. And then you go out and walk off stage. You exit stage left without taking any questions when the first time in history. I mean, this is what's led to what I think a lot of Americans believe. It's not just they don't trust DOJ and the FBI and all the things that happened to George Papadopoulos and others. This is why you see America beginning to look like a banana republic, if it isn't already.
Yeah. Kash, you were working with the National Archives to get the proper documents out to the public about the Russia collusion lie. President Trump declassified batches of documents in October 2020 and then again in January 2021. How much of those documents were actually released to the public? And how much have we not seen, and how damaging is what we haven't seen? What can you tell us?
Fantastic question, Maria. Yes, President Trump named me his representative to the National Archives months ago, and we've been in a bureaucratic battle. As Devin and I have always said to you, we found whole sets of documents we needed out to the American public from Russiagate. We got out about 60%. That's why President Trump made it his mission to declassify and be transparent. In October of 2020, he issued a sweeping declassification order for every Russiagate document and every single Hillary Clinton document. Then on the way out of the White House, he issued further declassification orders, declassifying whole sets of documents. And this is a key fact that most Americans are missing. President Trump, as a sitting president, is a unilateral authority for declassification. He can literally stand over a set of documents and say, these are now declassified. And that is done with definitive action immediately. The fact that the bureaucrats at NARA, who referred, remember, the National Archives are the ones that referred this to the Department of Justice, but they, the same principal, failed to refer Hillary Clinton to the Department of Justice when they got their hands on the classified emails from those servers. And switching gears a little bit to the national security officials involved, you know, me as a former national security prosecutor in the National Security Division where this case is being run out of, it's no surprise that the likes of John Carlin, who was the Assistant Attorney General for National Security, who authorized a Russiagate hoax to begin with, is now the number three official at DOJ. And Lisa Monaco is the number two official, who was his superior back then. These folks, and this is the thing I want to stress with, now that this is a quote-unquote ongoing FBI counterintelligence investigation, they will come out to the American public and be able to say, ongoing CI investigation, you will never be allowed to see the Russiagate docs or any other docs that President Trump lawfully declassified, and they will hide it from the public. And Congress has a monumental lift ahead of them. Come November, they better start subpoenaing these documents immediately and putting these people before the American public. Merrick Garland and FBI Director Chris Wray have failed in their mission to uphold the law. They have become political hucksters, and they are completely destroying our Constitution and putting on a two-tier system of justice.
So this is the point. They wanted those documents under lock and key. Devin, extraordinary that they convened a grand jury and are talking about espionage charges. Where is this going?
Yeah, I think that's another really important point that shouldn't be lost on the American people today, and that is that they convened a grand jury against a former president of the United States, and they went into the grand jury looking at the president for treason, as if he's, and look, if that was the case, if he really was holding these documents, these so-called classified documents, we even heard, you know, leaks of nuclear secrets that the president was holding. Look, that's preposterous. And if that was true, you should have sent, they should have immediately sent and made this public and sent FBI agents surround Mar-a-Lago if the nuclear secrets were really there. But the fact that they convened a grand jury, accuse a president, again, this look, this is the second time. This never stopped. Remember back in 15 and 16 is when they started first saying that he was colluding with Russians, and Vladimir Putin and Republicans were all colluding with Russians. They went to a grand jury with that, Maria. So once again, this is a continued investigation of Trump and the Republican Party. It's basically an investigation in search of a crime. And then conveniently, they brought back the Mueller witch hunt argument that, oh, my God, he's obstructing justice. Obstructing justice on what, you jerks? Stuff that you had planted on an investigation
entire clip will be, the link to the clip will be available at HagmanReport.com for this episode. Open the episode box up and the link will be right there. Now, a couple of things about this. This kind of jumped ahead, but it was necessary to do so because what I want to do is, again, connect the dots as to who the players are, what happened, what's going on, exactly what's going on. Now, again, one of my favorite websites is Conservative Treehouse. Sundance did an excellent job of laying this all out and a very, very deep dive into all of this. We have to understand, too, when we talk about presidential records, and I would just want to make this clear. In the 1970s, the Presidential Records Act was created. And that was how to handle the documents from the president during the tenure of the president with the National Archives and where these documents are to go, including the declassification of the documents, how they're declassified and such, the process that they're in. Now, it's perhaps, I don't want to say reckless, but you can say that and be correct that if a president says, okay, these are declassified, I'm taking these documents with me, and he takes them with him, they're pretty much declassified. That's pretty much the way the system goes. Now, it's not that simple with most of the documents, but in many cases it is. But in many cases it's not. And if you have a headache now, just dive into some of the nuances of that. But before I get into that, again, think back to Obama's coming onto the scene, especially after and around that bad economic time, the near explosion of our economy back in 08, and how we almost were into martial law and such. Well, it was during that time, and I will say this, that we really have not had a normal budget passed the way the Constitution says we should since that time. Now, you can look into this, and I would urge you to do that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because It's there. You can look into how our budgets are being created and how the money for different parts of our government is allocated. One thing that did happen was the control of money going to the Department of Defense. A lot of that money was reallocated, not to the Department of Defense, but to the intelligence community. This funded the central hub of intelligence information holders, if you will, inside of the executive branch. Now, I'm talking about the CIA, the NSA, and even to some extent the Department of Defense, but again, not entirely. Not the way it used to be. The Department of State, the Department, or the DIA. And what happened was, and don't forget, subsequent to 2001, there was a complaint about silos of information, about walls, specific walls. Well, we can't share information with one agency between another. And that supposedly contributed to the 9/11 attacks. Okay, so the intelligence community, using the funding as well as the Patriot Act and the lessons learned from 9/11, things were redone as Obama came onto the scene. Actually, by Congress, including at that time Pelosi, who was at that time in charge of Congress, then as she is today. So what we had was the funding and the ultimate weaponization of the Department of Justice, the various components of the Department of Justice, within a division with no inspector general oversight. Now, when I had my radio show, I talked about this at length. The fact that the Department of Justice had no inspector general, had no IG oversight. It's important to understand this. Okay, so the other part of this as well, remember I said about declassifying information. Well, the other side of this is if you make information classified, or if you designate information as classified, depending on, let's say you're the CIA director or you're the director of the FBI. You can classify certain information. Okay. A lot of times that is done for reasons not to maintain sources and methods. A lot of time that is done to avoid any kind of exposure or additional oversight. It's a way to hide information, quite frankly, from the normal plebs like you and I. Okay, so you following me so far? So all of these things were being set up over the years subsequent to 9/11. And by the way, Dick Cheney was heavily involved in the process with the Patriot Act and all of the, I want to say the legislative process, but from more of an executive position, with his feeding information to create things like the Patriot Act and other types of so-called, hey, we'll keep you safe at your own expense. So it's no surprise Liz Cheney's sitting there on the January 6th committee. So all of these things combined. Okay. The Obama's radical transformation that he talked about, again, the U.S. military budget was cut officially when he assumed office, and the intelligence community, their budget was increased. And who did he have as his attorney general? Eric Holder. All right. Who then was able to work with the ODNI, which is a newly established department, the ODNI, to weaponize, to assist in the weaponization of the Department of Justice and all of the other intelligence community assets. So at the same time, you also had the weaponization of the FBI. And again, this is when you have to go back to Obama. Okay, go back into the 08, 09, 10, 2010 time period. And you can see the weaponization beginning to form. You can see the Patriot Act, although supposedly done with good intent, right? Supposedly, now has been turned onto people, turned onto conservative patriots, Christian conservative patriots, even as far back as that time, and weaponized against us. And then that's why you heard in the clip, you go back to Lois Lerner, the Tea Party, right? How Lois Lerner had done some things to hold up any 501c3 approval within the IRS and even the audits within the IRS. Lois Lerner, she never had gotten any trouble whatsoever. And of course, Fast and Furious on the Department of Justice side. All of these different programs now were part and parcel to the fundamental transformation of events talked about by Barack Hussein Obama. And the question then becomes, who is behind Obama? And who not only that, who's working with Obama, but behind Obama? All right, so you saw what, again, bringing you up to speed, you saw that video. Some of this was mentioned within that video. Because, I mean, this is a huge topic to really wrap your head around. As I went through this, I'm looking through this, I'm thinking, my goodness, the layers upon layers upon layers of obfuscation is just crazy. So let's jump back, let's jump forward, I should say, into what happened. Well, before I do, one of the pushes for declassification when President Trump was president was what? It was the declassification of all things related to Crossfire Hurricane. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Conservative Treehouse did post a, let me see here, I think they did post a tweet when Donald Trump was tweeting about the declass of those documents. Now remember, he wanted everything declassified, as we all did. Declassify everything. Show us everything. Show us what you got. Of course, that was slow-walked and no-walked by Sessions, by Barr, by Comey, by Brennan, by others. They were all slow-walked and no-walked. So we really don't know. We don't have the unredacted versions of the attacks against President Trump when he first assumed office. And even before that, as a candidate, we do know that there was affidavits that were filed that resulted in these FISA warrants back then for Crossfire Hurricane. And everything was swept under the rug, kept private. Fast forward to today. Now we have this search warrant, which was released 3 days after it was issued. And let's put the search warrant up, if you don't mind. I think that was the, it's embedded in one of the files there. Thank you so much, Eric the Tech. I appreciate that. I want to show you a couple of things on the search warrant. Now, look, I was an investigator. I am an investigator, that is. And I'm not an attorney. I don't write search warrants, but I've seen them. I've been with individuals, with people, with officers who have written them, and I've seen a lot, okay? And I've seen them walked to the judge and signed and such, and I've seen some incomplete, and I've seen some mistakes made on them, and I've seen some a lot of different things. So I feel like I have a little bit more than the average person's take on this, okay? The first thing I'd like you to take a look at, obviously the front page, the first page of this docket, released, or of this docket, dated 8/11/22 references the first bullet point. The search warrant, not including the affidavit, signed and approved by the court on August 5th, 2022, including attachments A and B, and the property receipt listing items seized pursuant to the search filed with the court on 8/11/2022. What this is a copy of the search warrant and then a index of a table of or a list of things fruit of the search warrant received from the search warrant. So that's what this is. Now, the search warrant itself, let's take a look at that. That's page two. This was issued, or this is meant for the Southern District of Florida. See attachment A. Okay, it's fine. Writes the judge, and this is boilerplate, somewhat boilerplate text. I find that the affidavits or any recorded testimony establish probable cause to search and seize the person or property described above, and that such search will reveal, and this is the attachment B. Now, remember all of the, and you can keep that up there for a second. Remember all of, because the dates are important here. Remember all of the hair pulling, saying, oh my gosh, there could be nuclear secrets out there. Donald Trump could have nuclear secrets. Eric Tech, I hear you laughing. Remember that? Are you laughing at me or?
Was it? In general.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's just say Donald Trump was a really bad guy or even incompetent. I don't know. And yeah, he's got all kinds of like drawings of nuclear weapons and stuff he shouldn't have. I mean, stuff that would endanger national security, because that's what we were told. This was endangering national security. Look at the date on the search warrant. The search warrant was issued at 12:12 p.m. on Friday, August 5th, 2022. Signed by Judge Bruce Reinhardt. And again, Bruce Reinhardt conflicted with Epstein. As a matter of fact, Bruce Reinhardt, as judge, recused himself from a trial between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. But yet he signed this search warrant. So, okay, let's just say, okay, there's bad stuff. My gosh, we got to get it back, or we got to stop this madman. What does this search warrant say? And again, I've seen in cases I've worked, search warrants that were drafted where material sought in the search warrant could have been used, sold, or otherwise, you know, poof, gone within hours. And in every case like that, where there was a serious type of search or a search warrant for a serious type of situation, the officers went out right away. But yet this judge said, okay, make sure you take care of this by August 19th, 14 days after he signs the search warrant. You get 2 weeks. You get 2 weeks to execute this search warrant. Okay. Does that make sense? If it's so bad, but we got to have a search warrant. We'll give you 2 weeks. Doesn't make any sense. Nor does it make any sense if it was so bad. This was signed on a Friday. They took the weekend off, pina colada weekend, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they took their kids to the zoo. Who knows? But these agents just sat back and did whatever. And they hit it Monday morning. What would they do? Friday afternoon, got together and said, you know what? I really don't want, I got stuff to do this weekend. I know this is bad. I know that this is a matter of national security, but I'll tell you what. Come on, man. Corn Pop was a bad dude. And you know what? He's still, but give me the weekend. Let me rest the weekend. So you have two things here. You've got a judge signing off that shouldn't have signed off because of conflicts, giving the FBI crew 2 weeks to get this, oh my gosh, matter of national security, could be nuclear secrets, could be whatever. Who knows? I know that he's blowing Putin. I know that, you know, Putin's got his hands so far up. I know that things are happening. Oh my gosh, this is horrible. But I'll give you 2 weeks to take care of the search warrant. And then, oh, okay. Yeah, we'll take a couple of days off. We'll hit it Monday. Now, the other part of this. This was, of course, extended because June 3rd is when the pre... And I'm going to tell you this. Pay attention to this because this will tell you a lot. The pretext for all of this, the confidential human source that created the affidavit that was responsible for the search warrant, because you've got to have, okay, so you got to have probable cause over here, which would be in the form of an affidavit to get the search warrant over here so that everyone can act over here. So what was over here? What was the probable cause? What was the affidavit about? The affidavit goes back to June 3rd when the Secret Service was told, by the way, this is at Mar-a-Lago. This is the president's residence, and this is a huge place. I don't know how many White Houses can fit in there, but the fact of the matter is, the search warrant, by the way, was looking for documents, boxes of documents. Okay, it's important to understand, boxes of documents. Say with me, boxes of documents. Okay, so the affidavit was created or was responsible to create the search warrant. So it had to do with something with boxes of documents. On June 3rd and up through June 3rd, National Archives and President Trump, his attorneys, we're going back and forth, as every single flippin' president has done since the 1970s, including including Bill Clinton, including Barack Hussein Obama, including the Bushes, where they were kind of wrestling over the documents. I want these documents here, or National Archives should have them, or, okay, you want those for your presidential library? Fine. You can keep them over there. But who the agency in charge of that or involved in that is the GSA, General Services Administration, and people like Kash Patel, who you saw in the video. They work together, and they say, okay, well, you want those documents back? Okay, fair enough. Here you go. Well, we want those documents. Okay, thank you. That's for the library. And that's the way it goes. It's not really that smooth of a procedure. So throughout this process, from the time that Donald Trump stopped being president until June 3rd, this was going on. Well, the FBI, June 3rd, at the invitation of Donald Trump, visited the 6x10 storage room where the boxes of documents were kept. And they looked at the boxes and they said, they went through all the boxes. President Trump was there. His attorneys were there. He said, let me know if you need anything. I'm here for you. Whatever you need, I'm here to help you. That's President Trump. At the end of the day, the only thing the FBI says, you know what? Do me a favor. Do us a favor. Put a better lock on this door or another lock on this door for this storage room. Other than that, good. We're good to go. That was the pretext that created the affidavit that resulted in the search warrant that caused all of this. And if you look at the search warrant, and John Moore, thelibertyman.com, will tell you. In fact, put the search warrant back up if you don't mind. I want to show you something else on the search warrant. The people are talking about this, but they're not necessarily showing this. A couple of different things. This would be page 6, the last page of the search warrant. Attachment. Well, this is attachment B. It says that the property to be seized. Now, think about this. I'll go through each one here. All physical documents and records constituting evidence, contraband, fruits of crime, or other items illegally possessed in violation of 18 U.S.C. Section 793, 2071, or 1519, including the following. Any physical documents with classification markings, along with any containers or boxes, including any other contents in which such documents are located, as well as other contents or containers, boxes that are collectively stored or found together with the aforementioned documents and containers, boxes. Meaning, if you have a bunch of boxes together, take them all. If B is information, including communications in any form regarding the retrieval, storage, or transmission of national defense information or classified material. Okay. Interesting wording. Where'd that come from? Think January 3rd. Any government and or presidential records created between... No. Think of these dates. You ready? Any government and our presidential records created between January 20th, 2017 and January 20th, 2021. Eric the Tech, real quick. I don't want to put you on the spot. What happened on January 20th, 2017 that got all of the leftist, liberal, communist, blue-haired, tattooed, pierced people in an uproar? What happened at 12 noon on January 20th, 2017? That's right. That's right. President Trump was sworn into office. When did his tenure end? January 20th, 2021. Now, for an affidavit, generally speaking, it must be narrow, or for a search warrant, must be narrow in scope. John Moore will tell you this. He's with me now. Hang on. No, this is not narrow. This is any document created during his entire 4 years as president. That includes a doodle if he's on the phone with, talking to whoever, right? So, what I'm telling you is this. Oh, and the other part of this too. When you look at the search warrant, it is not specific other than, hey, you don't search guest rooms, okay, or rooms that are sublet to others, just rooms that President Trump has access to. Okay. And again, I can't wait for John's take on this. That's like saying, well, you know what? The search warrant. And again, I've been involved in the creation of many search warrants. It's like saying, well, all right, every part of the house, the garage, the attic, the basement, barns, outbuildings, whatever. Except the neighboring properties. Okay. Now, if you're looking for documents, let me do it this way. If you're looking for a Jeep Wrangler, you're not going to find it in the kitchen, right? Chances are you're not going to find your Jeep Wrangler in the kitchen. So what I'm saying is they were looking in places that they had no business to look in for what they were after. And I should add, they demanded that the security cameras, which were not turned off, to be turned off. They were not turned off. Can't wait to see what's on that footage. And they refused to allow Christina Robb, the first attorney on site there just before 10 a.m. to see the search warrant. That's a big no-no. I'm going to tell you right now, you show that search warrant. Otherwise, you could have a real problem on your hands. And there were other things that happened that were untoward with respect to President Trump. The bottom line here, folks, and I know I went like a long way on this. You haven't seen anything yet. President Trump, I expect to be indicted. I expect his children, aides that worked with him, to be indicted, but even more treated harshly, even arrested. I expect to see a lot of things take place with respect to what was found during this search. You saw Garland out there 40 minutes late. Tell me, I want to know this. You call a press conference for, I don't know, 2:30, and you're 40 friggin' minutes late for your own press conference about something so simple. The entire press conference was 3.5 minutes long. The guy looked like he had a gun to his head off camera and saying, I am not telling you nothing. Wait, it took you 40 minutes to come up with that? No, things are going to get worse and worse and worse. Talk more about this. This is John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Maybe he can save my voice from, boy, man, I had this for like a week, man. I'm dying here. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, the voice of reason. I'm going to tell you what, he's got a wonderful radio show Monday through Friday. And I am so glad to have him on Mondays to kind of be the voice of reason, be the level investigative head out there to analyze what's going on and to provide information to our audience. Of course, John Moore, thelibertyman.com, bookmark at thelibertyman.com, information about everything you want to know, from SARS-CoV-2, which I don't have, by the way, to even what's happening with President Trump right now, and the DOJ and the ODNI and CIA and FBI and LGBTQ RSP stuff. John Moore, how are you, sir? John, you're not talking to me now because it took so long? Oh, there we go. John's on the phone. 007. I'm telling you, John's like 007. Is this part of the skit? All right.
Okay, I can hear Eric now.
Okay, you can. Can you hear me?
Hello, hello.
Okay, Eric, he can hear you. Hang on a second. Hang on a second. Who am I talking to? I'm not talking to anybody. In live radio, what do you want to do here? Okay, let's see. While we're waiting for John, a great article today.
Hello, hello.
John, are you there? Can you hear us? All right. Believe it or not, Newsweek, Mike Davis, Garland, Ray must be impeached for unconscionable Trump raid. And while we're waiting for John, if you can hear me, just, I don't know, just toss something at, tell Eric, he'll know. But Mike Davis, this in Newsweek, Mike Davis, writes that for over a year, we've heard that the left, the Democrats, wailing about existential threats to our democracy. Curiously, this happened while these same Democrats in Congress have worked hand in glove with their fellow Democrats in the Justice Department to disregard all norms, to hunt down in an attempt to destroy President Joe Biden's chief political rival, former President Donald Trump, as well as Trump's top aides and even his political supporters. That's important to note. His political supporters, that includes people even like you and I, even at the lowest end of the totem pole. Now, last Monday, obviously, the Biden Justice Department crossed a red line. They ordered this unprecedented, unnecessary, unlawful FBI of a raid of Trump's home and offices. And writes Mike Davis, the purported purpose of this highly controversial home raid with a brigade of some 30 FBI agents, a raid attorney, Attorney General Merrick Garland admitted he personally ordered after his aides initially denied it, is related to the 15 to 25 boxes of presidential records, some of which bureaucrats of the National Archives claim are classified, and which Trump took to Mar-a-Lago when he left the White House over 18 months ago. All of the presidents take mementos. All presidents take mementos and other records when they leave office. They don't pack their own boxes. It's ridiculous. Can you imagine Donald Trump there packing his own boxes? Yeah, I mean, not going to happen. The National Archives takes the position that almost everything is a presidential record. In other words, everything's ours. That's their position. It's all ours. You can't have anything. And the federal government in general overclassifies almost everything. That's the way of the world. Even if President Trump took classified records, that's not a crime, folks. The president has the inherent constitutional power to declassify any record he wants in any manner he wants, regardless of otherwise pertinent statute or regulation that applies to everyone else. The president doesn't need to obtain Congress's or some bureaucratic's permission to declassify something or jump through some regulatory or statutory hoops to declassify anything. The Supreme Court reaffirmed this in the 1988 case, Department of the Navy versus Egan. And that the quote there, the money quote there is, the president, after all, is the commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States, the U.S. Constitution, Article 2, Section 2. His authority to classify and control access to information bearing on national security flows primarily from this constitutional investment of power to the president, and exists quite apart from any explicit congressional grant. In other words, it doesn't matter what the Federal Register or crime or the crimes code says. You go to the Constitution on this matter. So, if Trump left the White House with classified records, then those records are necessarily declassified by his very actions. He doesn't need to label that decision for or report that decision to anybody, period. That's end of story. So it is pretextual legal nonsense for the Biden Justice Department to pretend President Trump broke any kind of criminal statute. Let me know if we have him or if I'm talking, because I want to talk over him. Okay, we're working on the sound here, on his sound. Garland apparently did not seek an opinion from the Justice Department Office of Legal Counsel, the de facto general counsel for the executive branch, before ordering his home raided. And this would be his boss's chief political enemy, Donald Trump. So Garland's boss is Biden in the real world, and Biden's chief political enemy, previous, now, and in the future, of course, presumably, is President Donald Trump. So Garland did not check with the Office of Legal Counsel, and the reason maybe he wouldn't get the answer that he wanted. In 2012, you got to remember this, Barack Hussein Obama secretly told the Russian president, remember this? Yeah, I'll have more flexibility to negotiate with Russia after the next election. To convey that message is to clearly transmit highly classified information. So why not, in that case, an Espionage Act violation? Well, because Obama was president, period. He could say what he wanted to say without fear of a classification problem. So all former presidents also get a federally funded office. And I didn't know this. Did you know this? A federally funded office called the Office of the Former President. Now, we've all seen Office of the President-elect, which I think is BS, but Office of the Former President. They get this, and it's paid for by you and I. Huh. Cool deal, right? They get lawyers, they get other staff, security clearances, Secret Service protection. They have SCIFs. They're given SCIFs or secure facilities for the maintenance of classified records. So even if President Trump had classified records, then they were protected and secure. And as you know, they were, right? But that lock thing, again, was the pretext for the affidavit, which was the reason for the search warrant. But I digress. At best, then, this amounts to, what does this amount to? A dispute over Presidential Records Act, over the Presidential Records Act. And no president since the 70s, since the act was created, ever was raided or subpoenaed in this respect. So if the boxes sought by the Department of Justice contained presidential records, then the National Archives owns them. But they'll almost certainly, however, stay with President Trump at his eventual presidential library. That's the bureaucratic dispute. That's all. That's it. End of story, period. There's nothing more, unless that's not what this is about. And I guarantee you that's not what this is about. This is not any crime. And by the way, the Presidential Records Act, that's not a criminal statute, let alone one that requires a 30-person FBI contingent armed to the, you know, unprecedented raid of a former president's home and office. No. It is routine for any office of the former president to negotiate with the National Archives. It happens all of the time. They disagree. All of the time. The archives could have alerted Congress very simply and said, you know what? Those are our documents. And they were doing that prior to the raid. Not alerting Congress, but going back and forth with the attorneys and such. So the Biden Justice Department could have filed a civil lawsuit, if you think about this, because the Presidential Records Act is not a criminal statute, if that's what this was about. So at worst, they could have civil lawsuit, but they didn't. This was a criminal search warrant under three different criminal laws, including the Espionage Act. You know, the same Espionage Act that Hillary Clinton was subjected to with the emails. Oh, that didn't happen. That's right. Alternatively, the Biden Justice Department could have sought more subpoenas. Okay, instead, the Department of Justice, they went nuclear with its unprecedented, unnecessary, and unlawful home raid, even knowing Trump had already been holding these records at Mar-a-Lago for 18 months. So why now? Did you say something? Okay. All right, we're waiting for John to pop back in. So to put this in perspective, a former President Bill Clinton stole more than $190,000 in china, in flatware, in rugs, and other personal gifts from the White House. Yeah, stuff, you know, I go to a Airbnb. I don't even know what those are. I've never been to one. But if I go there, I take their stuff. Why not? It's my stuff, right? Now, the Clintons eventually caved to public pressure and paid some $86,000 for the $190,000 in stuff they took. But there was no FBI raid. What grifters? I mean, can you imagine? Yeah, you know what? I like that china. Grab that china over there. Pack that up. Yeah, I really like that painting of George Washington. Let's take that. Then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton set up an illegal home server. And I've talked so much about this. Some of the most intense classified records for a State Department, the head of the State Department. She openly admitted to stealing and destroying records herself, putting our national security at risk. Yet there was no FBI raid. The FBI never even questioned her about that matter. And yet you're going to see memes and stuff on social networking saying stuff to the contrary. No, she was never questioned about the records, about the content, the information, the emails, that sort of thing. The records that were destroyed. Remember, some, 13 cell phones destroyed with a hammer? Now, to add insult to injury, the Biden Justice Department obtained this unprecedented, this unnecessary, and unlawful home raid warrant from U.S. Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhart of West Palm Beach. And I told you about this guy. Reinhart had just recently recused himself on June 22nd, 2022, in President Trump's civil lawsuit against Hillary Clinton. Oh, yeah. What's more, in 2017, Reinhart blasted Trump's integrity on Facebook. This is what he said on Facebook. This is the judge that signed the search warrant on Facebook in 2017. This is what he said. Donald Trump doesn't have the moral stature to kiss John Lewis's feet. Quote and end quote. You think he was biased? Or did his bias suddenly go away over the last couple of months or 5 years from the 2017 Facebook post to the June 22nd, 2022 recusal, where he cited conflict of interest and bias? So did this bias somehow go away and he signed the search warrant? Another one, Christopher Wray. He recently testified that the FBI was too busy to stop dangerous and illegal intimidation campaigns outside of the Supreme Court justices' homes. Too busy, right? By the way, this was after an attempted assassin was thankfully arrested outside of Kavanaugh's home. The FBI didn't have time, apparently, to investigate actual threats to the lives of constitutional officers, but it certainly had plenty of time to raid President Trump's former President Trump's home, right? For what? For 18 months worth of records? Dispute publicly stated that he was fully cooperating? Unbelievable. I'm going to try John Moore one more time. John, are you there, sir?
I am here.
Wow. Thank you. After all that, how you doing, man?
Well, really good. We've had some issues with Skype today, obviously. Zoom, I should say. Yep.
Yes, I can hear you twice. I can hear you three times. Wait a second. You got to hang up on the phone, brother.
Okay, I'll hang up on the phone and I'll see if I can get the video going.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, I'm interested in getting your take on all of this because I know you've done search warrants and I know that you're familiar with the process, and I think this is just an egregious thing. All right. You still there? All right. He's not there. Or is he there? Are you there? You are there. I can hear you. Mousing around in the background. No?
Okay. Right. Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. There we go. Good to talk to you. Can you hear me?
Hello, Doug.
Oh, my goodness. I can hear you. It's like those old 80s commercials. Can you hear me now?
Or okay, I don't hear anything here on my end.
All right. Well, maybe. Okay, Eric the Tech just, well, you can't hear me. He's going to call back on the Skype line again. So I don't know. I don't know who I'm talking to. All right. It's Monday. Folks, it's Monday. And trying to get it together with John Moore, but it's Monday. There we go. Sounds like a sonar in a submarine, right? We got it now? No? All right. All right, folks. Well, stand by. So you can see all of this taking place, right? Getting back to what I was saying here until we get this unscrewed. 18-month-old record dispute. And the Department of Justice idea to handle this is to search President Trump's home and office. Do we have you now?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, let's try this. All right. So I don't know if you've heard me or if you haven't heard me, but we're talking about the search warrant, the stuff that led up to the August 8th search, the broad scope of the search warrant when it shouldn't have been that broad. The fact that if it was such a national security nightmare, they gave him 2 weeks to take care of the search warrant. The fact that President Trump cooperated from January 3rd, previous and post January 3rd, about the where the records were kept. The fact that the search warrant essentially permitted the agents to look for, you know, just about anything they wanted to look for, anywhere they wanted to look for it. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. Have you?
No, sir. Well, I've dealt with hundreds of search warrants and hundreds of criminal cases, Doug.
Right.
Search warrants issued by county judges and executed by county sheriffs are done more properly than what was done at the very highest level of the Department of Justice and the federal government. There's no excuse for what took place, Doug. If my local sheriff had applied for a warrant of this kind, he would have been laughed out of the courtroom. You need details, and you need probable cause. And in the case of the President of the United States, you need precedents. None of those things applied in this case. There's been dialogue and negotiating between the National Archives and former presidents for decades. There's nothing new about that. If it was truly a matter of national security, which of course it was not, they would not have delayed the time they delayed. They would have gone on and within moments of getting the search warrant signed by the judge. In fact, here's what would have happened. They would have had the raiding party staged half a mile away from Mar-a-Lago, waiting for the judge to sign the warrant, and then swooped in there the moment the judges signed the warrant immediately, if it was truly a matter of national security, which obviously it was not, because they didn't do that, Doug, did they?
You know, you make a good point. I don't think I've ever seen or ever been part of a search warrant execution that wasn't within a couple of hours of the judge signing off. Usually it's quicker than that, because the disposition of the evidence that they're looking for or were looking for could very well be destroyed or otherwise moved.
Right.
Who knows?
Well, typically we're looking at maybe a few pounds of marijuana, some bags of fentanyl, some illegal substance that could be disposed of or destroyed. And not a matter of national security. That's typically what we see in criminal search warrants: evidence that needs to be seized so it can be preserved for evidence in a court of law. The magnitude of what they allege is far greater than a bag full of marijuana. Obviously, far greater, with far greater implications for national security, which obviously a bag of marijuana would never pose any threat to national security that I'm aware of. So the care taken by the Department of Justice and the FBI was at a much lower level than your routine sheriff's department, your routine small town police department executing a search warrant for a bag of marijuana or a bag of fentanyl or whatever the illegal substance may be. A far lower level of care, a far lower level of importance and significance to move forward as quickly as possible to seize the evidence before it can be tampered with, removed, destroyed.
Let me ask you a question, okay? Because this is important to me as well. And now, on attachment A, the location to be searched includes the 45 office, okay, all storage rooms, all other rooms or areas within the premises are available to be used by former President of the United States and his staff, in which boxes or documents could be stored, including all structures or buildings on the estate. Okay, that's a heck of a lot of places, okay, to look. The FBI raiding party there, when the attorney showed up, the attorney said, look, what are you looking for? I'll help you. Believe me, I mean, no one wants to spend 10 flipping hours, and I've never seen that, okay, going through to find records, paper documentation. No, so if attorney says, look, I'll help you. I know you're looking for, what, 10, 15, 20 boxes? Let me show you where we keep them, and we'll go from there. And they said, no, screw you. No, in fact, you go wait outside. What was that all about, John?
Well, what that was about was the FBI attempting to conceal their activity, not wanting any, for example, photographic evidence of the FBI going through the Melania Trump's underwear drawer, which apparently they did, by the way. And this is a humiliation. Our country has been humiliated in front of the entire planet, which is just adds to our country, our federal government, sending men to international conferences in Paris that would like to dress up as women in public and appearing, representing the United States of America, wearing women's clothing in public. A gentleman dressed up wearing a female admiral's outfit, and another gentleman wearing a dress where the purse and shoes did not match, by the way, which most women regard as a sin. But we continue to become the laughing stock of the planet through what's going on by the Biden administration, the Department of Justice, and the FBI. We've heard, Doug, you and I, and our listeners, for the past, this is now day number eight, for the past 8 days, that what took place at Mar-a-Lago a week ago today is what takes place in a banana republic, a place like Venezuela, possibly Zimbabwe. Not the kind of thing that takes place in the United States. And it's been pointed out by several commentators, and thank you for sending me the video of Kash Patel and Senator Nunes. It's been pointed out that what's going on is without precedence in the 227 years of our country being a country. It's been pointed out that President Trump's administrative staff was cooperating with the National Archives, that the FBI, for example, had been at Mar-a-Lago in the recent past, reviewing documents and the way they were stored, getting proper storage advice from the National Archives to have a second lock put on the room where the critical documents were kept. This is nothing new, nothing new at all for past presidents to work with the National Archives to make sure that documents are properly secured. And it's been pointed out by several commentators, the president, while he is president, has the authority to declassify anything he chooses to. All he has to do is say they're declassified, and that's all it takes. It doesn't take anything, any written memorandum or anything of that nature, Doug. All the president has to do is point to the documents to say these are declassified. It's also been pointed out by Senator Nunes and Kash Patel, the same people at the Department of Justice and the FBI behind this raid were the exact same people involved in the Russian hoax and the Mueller investigation. The silliness and the false hoax efforts to impeach this president twice without success, attempt to cause him to be out of favor with the public, which has been a complete failure. And here we are right now, Doug, with President Trump raising more money than he ever has as a consequence of what happened a week ago today. This has been the biggest boost for President Trump that you can imagine.
They're going to kill him. I'm telling you right now, they're going to kill him. That's what
they're
going to
kill President Trump.
They can't get him politically. We've seen that. They can't get him on trumped up charges. Pardon the pun. What's left? Arrest him or kill him?
You're not the first commentator to say that, Doug. Unfortunately, it's been said, and people in our business know the following: if you're willing to give up your life, you can kill anyone. And of course, there's very sophisticated ways to murder people these days that have been developed. President Trump still has Secret Service protection, and will have till the day he dies. Of course, President Kennedy had Secret Service protection either, which was compromised that day in Dallas. President Kennedy was a good guy, a patriot, and when he decided to print the money backed by silver and bypass Treasury notes instead of Federal Reserve notes, Treasury notes backed by silver instead of Federal Reserve notes, which was debt-based currency. That was the end of him right there. He was dead only about 6 months later. I think it was about July of 63, and he was murdered in November of 63. So he lasted about 5 or 6 months.
So all you exactly, and to all your coin collectors out there, did you ever wonder why pre-1964 coins, you know, are 90% silver and people collect them? Do you ever wonder, was that just some arbitrary date? No, you're right, John. You're absolutely right on that, on the reason, I believe, for that. But I'm telling you right now, John, you're right. And the very people involved in Crossfire Hurricane, the Susan Rice, and even before that with Obama, Susan Rice, Eric Holder, you name the person, to the person, they were involved, I believe, in this latest escapade.
Well, this administration is just a continuation of the Obama administration. That's all it is. It's basically the same people doing the same things as when Obama was president. I'm not aware of, in the last century, going back to 1900, of any president leaving office and buying a mansion large enough to be a second White House in walking distance of the real White House. I'm not aware. I'm not any historian of any sort, but I'm not aware of that being the case. And of course, that's the case because Valerie Jarrett, who actually ran the country when Obama, in terms of day-to-day administrative things, Valerie Jarrett is running the country right now, in my opinion, just like she did during the Obama administration. The Marxist Muslim running everything. They talk about these people like Obama and Biden running things. They're just figureheads is all they do. The day-to-day administration is done by somebody like Valerie Jarrett. In this case, it is Valerie Jarrett.
Yeah, 100%. My brother, folks, you're listening to and you're watching John Moore, theLibertyMan.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Make sure you bookmark and visit his page often. He's got a radio show, excellent radio show, Monday through Friday. I'm telling you what, it's a must listen to. You got to tune into this because there's so much information that is given to you on a daily basis every week. That's thelibertyman.com. Plus, he's got news items and, of course, products and such. Support John Moore, and he does private consultations and what have you. And there he is from riding his hog to his TR-6 to jumping out of airplanes, perfectly good airplanes. And the look, the love boat look in the center there. And I won't go any further than that. But beyond
well, thank
that,
you, Doug.
Yeah, no worries. So, John, I don't want to, because of the whatever happened with our communications, we've got about 10 minutes left of the show. So whatever you want to talk about, talk about.
The connections of Joe Biden to the Communist Party of China are very clear. There's no doubt whatsoever that President Joe Biden is heavily connected to the Chinese communists by all these various business interests, mostly funneled through his son. But there's no doubt about that whatsoever. My heartfelt belief is that if and when the time comes, Joe Biden would compromise the U.S. military if there was a need to defend the continental United States from the communist Chinese, that he would compromise the U.S. military, making sure that we were not able to properly resist an attack by the communist Chinese. I really do believe that in my heart, which leaves us on our own, Doug.
Nice.
Families need to prepare to deal with what's coming. They need to do that. There's lots of things at my website that will help people. It's going to be winter in about 3 to 4 months, depending on where you live. And if you want to stay warm and cozy, the Liberator rocket heater will do that. The only stove we're aware of that uses both wood pellets and regular firewood.
You know, I know somebody. I got to tell you something. I know somebody who's using that, or who used that, has used that. Sorry.
Right.
And they cannot say enough good about it. So, folks, go to thelibertyman.com. You've got options out there for solutions. Thelibertyman.com has got them for you. Go ahead, sir.
That's right. Right. Well, as of last Friday, I'm also a dealer for Harvest-Rite freeze-dried equipment, which is the highest quality consumer-grade commercial freeze-dry equipment that you can get. And think about this, a freeze-dried piece of equipment that your church could use to help the entire congregation have the freeze-dried food they need for the times ahead. The harvest season is ahead. It's happening right now, depending on which fruits and vegetables. And so the quicker you get your freeze-dried equipment, the quicker you can be putting away food for the coming year or two. It's kind of been lost in the shuffle, but we've had more than 100 fires at the food processing plants. The food will still be available, Doug, but it's going to be a lot more expensive. And that's what people need to keep in mind. Becoming food independent by growing your own garden, maybe having some chickens, maybe a goat, could easily be a matter of affording food because you've grown it yourself, and cutting back on the food that your family needs because you have to keep the lights on, you have to pay the utility bills, and so forth, need gasoline for the car. Cutting back only works to a certain point, and after that, you start cutting corners of things you really do need, like proper nutrition. So, Doug, ultimately, it is a spiritual battle, and people need to keep that foremost, excuse me, in their mind. Do what they need to do to prepare their families, the people they care about, to deal with what's coming at us, Doug. It's a freight train running out of control downhill. You either get out of the way or you get run over. There's no third choice. You get out of the way by being prepared. Otherwise, much of the population is going to be run over, Doug.
You know, exactly. Now, without getting into detail, and I'm not going to get into detail, I reference this in broad strokes, but I do know that the government, are coming after alternative media specifically, and by name, Doug Hagmann and John Moore. You saw that.
I saw the documentation. That's certainly a concern. I'm not overly worried about it, Doug. You know, I control the things I control. I don't control what the federal government does. Unless they change some laws, myself and you have violated no laws, so I'm not concerned about violating laws that don't exist. Now, if they create a new law, well, that may be a concern, but for the time being, you and I, Doug, have violated no law, so I'm comfortable at the moment that we aren't going to be raided because you and I have violated no law, Doug.
No, no, but you know what that tells me, John? It tells me that you and I are making a difference. I like to believe that. And I think we are. I think we're waking people up. And you you are training people, getting them prepared and waking them up as well. So, I mean, in a way, I look at that as, hey, you're doing a decent job. At least that's the way I look at it. And so I want to
thank you, Doug. And I've been training people for dozens of years, decades. And it's fun to give people the knowledge that they need to be safe regardless of what comes. And I continue to, I'm working with a family right now to train them on the tactical use of rifles and pistols at my home range. And I like doing it. I enjoy it. Our mutual friend, Sam Andrews, has built an entire business and livelihood around training people from literally from all over the planet to go back to their home states, their home countries, and become instructors themselves. And that's what we do. We train people. We help them get ready. We give them the knowledge they need, the tools they need to be self-sufficient, to deal with what's coming with an economy that's imploding, a government that's clearly and obviously out of control. We even have people like Andrew Cuomo, who's not exactly a conservative and certainly is a lifelong Democrat, criticizing what took place a week ago today. So Andrew Cuomo should be concerned also because if they can do it to Donald Trump, they can do it to anybody, can't they?
That doesn't scare me, but it makes me aware. And if they can do it to Donald Trump, they can do it to, like you said, us. But even more importantly, and this is what I'm most concerned with, are the people that don't have a microphone or a voice. And they could do it to our listeners and viewers by putting up, I mean, somebody puts up a social media post and bang, you know, or speaks out at a school district meeting and all of a sudden, you know, the black van or the van shows up and the men in black come and take the people away. That bothers me a whole lot. We're living in a different country than we were, you know, even 5-10 years ago.
So. I think isn't there a famous Norman Rockwell print where a man is standing up, I think at a city council meeting and speaking his piece? Yeah, I believe there is.
I hope so.
I think there is. But that's an American tradition. And speak your piece, to go to school board meetings and speak your piece. The library board meetings, we've had some controversy here locally about books promoting homosexual activity being read to children in our local public library. A lot of controversy about that. And it's being handled in a way it's traditionally been handled, but with open discourse between the various parties. And that's America at its best, I believe. Is town hall meetings, school board meetings, library board meetings, and of course, the state legislature. A lot of good activity takes place where, it's pretty difficult to get to know a U.S. senator, but getting to know your local state senator or state rep is pretty easy. They want to know and meet their constituents. It's a pretty simple thing to do to meet these men and women, and or your county sheriff. You should know your county sheriff. Be on a first name basis with your county sheriff. If it comes worst case scenario, Doug, our county sheriff is the last line of defense. The county sheriff at Waco, Texas, could have told the FBI to leave his county instead of having 70 plus men and women and children murdered by the FBI all those years ago. What was that? 1994, I believe. He had the county sheriff up at Ruby Ridge, Idaho, could have told the FBI to leave the county, and he didn't do that. So these county sheriffs are the top law enforcement official in their county where they're elected, and when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road is the power of elected county sheriffs as opposed to appointed county sheriffs, which have typically lost their traditional power and authority.
You got that right, my friend. Well, I apologize for the abbreviated time that we had. I apologize for the gremlins we had in the system.
I tried two different computers. I couldn't get either one to work with the proper audio, but We'll practice this next week and get it right.
I'm going to tell you, you're not the only one. So there's that. But John Moore, theLibertyMan.com, folks, make sure you listen to him, his program, every weekday. John, thank you so very much. Appreciate
it. Doug. Good to be with you. We'll do this again next month.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right, bye. Folks, that'll do it for me. I just want to say God bless each and every one of you. Please, please hit your knees tonight and pray. Pray and prepare. Good night.